Thank you very much for your time, first and foremost. I'm going to start off by asking about series one. I take it you've seen it and you've done your homework. If so, what did you make of it?
No, I loved it. I think one of the big things for me was the director of the whole of the first series and the director of the first three eps of the second series is one of my closest friends. So that was a big part. So I was obviously watched it the first series just because he was doing it, but fell into it. Brilliant. Big Richard's a fantastic leading man. You know, Jing and Leslie, wonderful. So I really, really, I mean, it was out there as well. You know, it was original, which you like something you don't see too much these days on. Everything seems to be rehashed or a sequel or something. So just to see something, it was an original story. And there was that scene with Richard in the airport where he kind of, you know, he gets up and says he's being framed, I think. And the actual people in the airport didn't know that was happening. I love all that kind of stuff. That was fantastic. So coming into it, there was a pressure, but a nice pressure because the show was already a massive success for ITV and, you know, had a massive viewership. So, you know, you're coming into something that's pretty much a winning formula. You know, you just need to do your job and hopefully and try and take it to the next level.
So how was it for you then coming in for the second series? Because the bulk of the cast and crew, they've all worked together before. What's it like coming in as the newbie, as it were?
It's always, I mean, a bit terrifying, you know, especially these read-throughs, but there, because it's like the first day at school, you know, but that's on the same on every job, but very welcoming team. Everybody was lovely. And I said, having Kieran there, you know, having one of your best friends already directing you know, I knew I was being safe hands, but again, there was a pressure, but a nice pressure because the show's already got hopefully it's got viewers in built. So you just need to try and do your job and try and bring it up a notch.
So tell us about your character then, RSO Clay Brody. What's he all about? What's he bringing to the show?
So as you meet him, he is the head of security for the American Embassy in London. He is ex-SAS, which is always fun to play as a kind of a lovey actor. You know, you get to pretend you're a bit of a hard man. But he's a man with all the kind of great thrillers. He's got a bit of a haunted past, and he's not quite what he seems, which is a lot of fun to play. And you can tell he's got a bit of trauma and. As we're going through, you kind of discover more and more about him, and maybe he's hiding something, maybe he's not.
RSO Brody, DC Hannerley begrudgingly have to work quite tightly with each other as a unit in series two. We don't really know what's happened in the past, but you can tell there's history between the two. There's a bit of beef going on. What's the story there? What can you tell us about their
Well,
relationship?
they went through police training together, and there was an incident there which sort of ended Brody's police career, and then he sort of disappeared off where Hannah's never heard from him again. But the incident also got her into trouble. So they haven't seen each other since that moment. And then they're unexpectedly reunited in the middle of this sort of crisis. There's a genuine dislike between them, and it was nice to play something when you've got a male and a female character who have a history and a dislike for each other, but it's not romantic. You know, it's a professional dislike, and they are forced to sort of, they don't particularly trust each other, but they probably trust everybody else a bit less. So they're just trying to make the best of a bad situation. But I think they both would rather that the other one wasn't there.
So DC Lee on screen, you don't mess with her. If you mess with her, you're coming out worse. But what's it like working with Jing Lucy off screen? What it was is she anything like the character we see on screen?
Oh, she's great. I mean, as well, somebody coming in, you know, she's the lead of the show. She's very proud of it. She's very protective of it. And, you know, she made me feel very welcome and, you know, let it be known that she was excited before I was coming on, that she was delighted to that I took the job. So that's always nice when you know you've got somebody kind of rooting for you. And yeah, we just sort of got stuck into it together, trying to remind each other quite a lot. Because, I mean, there can be long days, tough days, but trying to keep each other motivate and say, look, because sometimes this job can be really, really fun, you know, running about with earpieces and talking into your wrist and guns and all that kind of stuff. You know, that's not the everyday stuff we get to do. So just trying to remind each other, like, let's enjoy this.
Yeah, you mentioned it there, talking into your wrist, the earpieces, the guns, red eye, it's tense, it's dramatic. So many high octane scenes right from the outset as well. You love working on this sort of thing, don't you?
Oh, I buzz off at me. I really do. I live for it. It's because it is, I mean, a lot of acting is you're just playing grown-up cops and robbers, the stuff you did when you were a kid, you know, whether it be watching Indiana Jones or whatever, you know, that's why I got into this. So when you get the chance and the opportunity to play these roles, you've got to grab it, you know, because I don't know, you know, hopefully I've got a bit more time in me, but I'm early 40s now, you know, the sort of action man, leading man. You never know how many times you're going to get to play that role. So no, I tried to grab it as much as I can.
Yeah, and we heard recently that Line of Duty's returning. You're a busy man at the moment with the release of Red Eye as well. So how are you going to find it, switching from your natural Scottish accent back into Steve Arnott's accent in Line of Duty? How do you
I
find
will
that?
because I've done that accent so long now. It's not as daunting if you know I had to do. I do sometimes you get something in for an audition or something. They go like, can you do a Newfoundland accent tomorrow or something? And you're like, I don't even know what that is. They can be tough, but I've done that accent so much that you know I can find it through certain words. And then also, I mean, it's a bit like a costume. I know when I do that voice, I find that character. You know, so it just lends it. It's actually. For that particularly, it's really helpful to do that voice because I don't feel like myself.
Well, I hope you've made your schedule relatively clear for the summer, because obviously
Oh,
Scotland
we're doing Line
qualifying
of
for the World
Duty.
Cup, a big moment as well. How did you celebrate Scotland's qualification in the way they did it as well? And how do you plan on following the World Cup? Because it's quite far away.
Well, that's the problem. So we'll be filming Line of Duty when it's on. But I'll get. I'd said to the team. I mean, we've worked together long enough now. I said I'm getting to one game at least because I've been waiting for this for 30 years. But yeah, it was kind of mad watching it because I practically missed the fourth goal because I felt sick watching it because you were just like blow the whistle, man. Like it was well over and you were like, we've been waiting on this. What was it? 27 year. Like it's over. I think it was what 8 minutes added or something. It was like 9 and a half. So I couldn't look at it. I went, something's going to happen. And then I just seen everybody celebrating. I was like, what happened? And it was amazing. I mean, in the way to do it like that, I don't think that game will ever be topped at Hampden.
Brazil, Morocco, Haiti. How'd you make
Well,
what
that's
did you
the
make of
thing
the
as
group?
well. We had 27 years and then we had Brazil and Morocco the last time we were there. But I mean, look, getting the Brazilians in the World Cup is always special. You know, it's the samba, it's the yellow top. I think us playing them again, but that would be fantastic. Morocco's probably the one I'm most gutted about because they're a good team. You know, they were probably the hardest seed we could have drawn out of that pot. Brazil, the glamour tie, you just go there to enjoy it. Morocco be a right tough game, but hopefully, but I mean, knowing Scotland, we find new and inventive ways to make a mess of it. But I'm hoping we can get something out of the Haiti game.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a better tournament just to have the Tartan Army out there anyway. They bring a certain
I think
atmosphere,
so.
don't they?
I think we bring something. You know, we bring a bit of tartan. You know, we bring a bit of colour. And I think we're always just there to have a good time. You know, I was lucky to go to Germany for the Euros, and it was fantastic. You know, and still the messages I get from German people about, you know, just kind of lighting the place up because we're there to enjoy it. You know, but we're getting to a point now. We want to go and make a dent in it. We've never got out of group ever. Once we've got to a major tournament. So if we can get out of it, that be and get to a knockout game, that would be wonderful.
BFBS, the Forces Station.